Brother Laddie, may the Lord bless your service. The Sarah Covenant.
Thank you, Brother Freeman. The Sarah Covenant has been a joy to me to study out as far as this goes. But before I get started, I wanted to bring to you the love and greetings from your brethren of the Associated Bible Students of Central Ohio, and especially Brother Bill and Sister Estelle and Sister Alnita and Sister Lynn York ask that their love be conveyed to you. And then also, I have been asked always to bring the love of my mother and father-in-law, Brother Joseph and Sister Mitchka, to you. Brethren, by what authority do we have of standing before you and speaking to you about the Sarah Covenant? The reality of it is that the word Sarah Covenant is not found in the Scriptures. And yet this topic of the Sarah Covenant is very scriptural. And the Scriptures will tell us just exactly that. Sarah is the mother of us all. And I would like to hold this thought in your mind as being the, shall we say, the subtitle of our thoughts for today. Sarah is the mother of us all. And the question would be as to how is Sarah the mother of us all? What does this subject of Sarah being our mother, what does it really mean to you and I? What is the implications behind this statement? We start off our study by looking at some facts. And you have I hope everybody has a handout in front of them. It consists of three pages, and it's a list of facts that we will be talking about today. I realize that it's some of the print is small. You might have to get a magnifying glass to look at it. I apologize, but it's there. And for the brethren that are online, I tried very hard to get online and upload this for them and was not able to do so. This computer failed me this morning to be able to accomplish that. Our first fact is that Sarah was 65 years of age when the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. The year was 2045 B.C. What does this mean to us? What does this have to do with the Sarah Covenant? Let me give you a sense of feeling as the timing of this arrangement by God that he would make a covenant with Abraham. Sarah was 65, as we mentioned. Simple math tells us that Abraham was 10 years older than Sarah. There is an implication in the words of the Lord that might not be seen at first as we look at these simple texts of Scriptures. We read in Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And then the second verse, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, as we take a look at the implications behind this text of Scripture, we notice that, number one, how many times is the word bless or blessings stated in this text of Scripture, or these texts of Scriptures here? Several. And so, as a primary thought behind this concept, that this covenant that was made with Abraham, that there would be a blessing. Very important. That's the bottom line. If you're dealing with it from the standpoint of accounting, the bottom line is there will be a blessing. But the implications behind this is much greater than just that. Remember, Sarah was 65 years of age. And when God spoke this at this particular time there of Sarah being 65 years of age, this was an absolute positively impossibility with man, according to the flesh. The fact that he says, I will make of thee a great nation, indicates that he would have a seed. Abraham was 75. Sarah, 65, as said. The fact that I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee indicates the fact that in the future that blessing would be dependent upon that seed. Now, along with this implication of the fact that in Abraham there would be this blessing through a seed, we also see that there would be a blessing specifically along the lines of the land. We read in Genesis 13:15, for all the land which thou seest, I will give it and to thy I will give it and to thy seed forever. Look carefully at this. There's a lot of discussion about land today. There is some simple words here that stand out in front of us. I will give it to thee for how long? Should there ever be a question about that? Not according to the Scriptures, there shouldn't be. But this is part of the promise that was made to Abraham that would come through his seed. And note specifically the fact that it would come through his seed. Now, there are additional texts of Scriptures in reference to that. The 13th chapter and the 17th verse, we read there that God spoke to Abraham and says, arise, walk through the land. And I am borrowing a graphic here from Brother Larry McClellan. Maybe you heard this discourse about the title deeds of Israel. What Brother Larry did was he took all the scriptures that related to the title deeds that would be Israel's, and he was therefore able to take and find what the borders of Israel was going to be in the future. So the promise was to Abraham that he could walk through the land. In the length of it and in the breadth of it, because God was going to give it to him. Now let us go to the next text of Scripture, which is the 28th chapter in the 4th verse, which also speaks about the land. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Confirming the fact that part of this blessing through the seed would be the land. This becomes important to us as we note specifically the time that we are living in. This is a chart that I borrowed from Brother Jerry Leslie. I love this simple little chart. It's just a few lines on the page, as the case may be. But it shows the timing of when all these blessings that we're talking about came about. We notice specifically up here at the top that Noah was alive. This was after the flood. And he lived here to 2122 B.C. We notice specifically the Great Pyramid, time-wise. Noah was alive when the Great Pyramid was built. We notice the fact that Terah was alive when the Great Pyramid was built. And we notice the date of 2120 when Abraham was born. And 10 years later, in 2110 B.C., we notice that Sarah came on the scene as being born. And as we have mentioned before, Sarah was 65 years of age when this covenant was made with Abraham, Abraham being 75 years of age. And the promise of the land came after Abraham entered into the land and before the time that he paid tithes to Melchizedek, time-wise. So that gives us a sense of feeling as to where we are in the time there. This was prior to the time that Abraham went up into to Dan and brought Lot back to the promised land. Now, when we speak of Sarah, when we speak of Sarah of being 65 years of age right here, we realize the fact that the flesh always seems to get in our way. And when God said that you would have a child, a seed, that would bless all the families of the earth, Sarah says, well, I'm already 65 years of age. How in the world is this going to happen? It just doesn't seem likely. So what happens is Sarah comes along and says, I'm going to help God out. I'm going to help God fulfill this promise because of the fact that it's just impossible with me because of my age. And the year was 2034 B.C., and we read in Genesis 16:1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And the second verse, and Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go thee in unto my maid. It may be that I may attain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. There. How often we lack patience. How often we lack the full trust in our Heavenly Father to accomplish things, and we try to help Him out. And Sarah seems to have done this. Now, this took place in about 4 years time prior to the time that Abraham was 100 years of age. And we have down here that Abram was 86 years of age when Ishmael was born. And we won't go into Ishmael any more than that because Brother Ed is going to deal with that subject. But this gives us the time-wise and the aspect that what Sarah was attempting to do was to help God out in accomplishing this. Now, we read that Sarah laughed about this, and we always look at it from the standpoint of the fact that that was something bad. But the reality of it is the fact that Sarah realized her age. She realized how old she was and realized that, according to the flesh, this was impossible. The year was 2021 B.C. It was just 1 year before Isaac was born. And we read in Genesis, the 18th chapter, in the 9th verse, "And they," that is the angels that had visited Abraham, "said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And Abraham said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee," this is the angel speaking, "according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son, very specifically. And Sarah heard it in the tent doors, which was behind him. Now Sarah Abraham and Sarah were old, 89 years of age for Sarah, and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." Genesis 18:12. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I be have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" The angel says, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, brethren, it was mentioned already today that there are things that are impossible for God to do. It was mentioned the fact that it is impossible for God to lie. There are things that are too hard for him to do. But this was not too hard for God to do. God could accomplish this. Now, my aunt would surely be very upset with me for putting this on the screen. There. This is my wife, or this is my aunt, who I take care of. This is my aunt, and my aunt is 89 years of age. She is just the age that Sarah was at the time when God said that she shall have a son. "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." I could not picture my aunt having a child at this age whatsoever. It is just, according to life today, it is so difficult for her just to be able to take care of herself. But it was at this age that Sarah would have this. And this becomes very important to us as we consider as to why it was. You know, we can ask ourselves, why did God wait this long to accomplish this? Why is it that God did not choose someone that was younger? Why did he not permit Sarah and Abraham to have a child at a much younger age? Why did he not ask for Abraham to leave the city of Ur many years before? All this is part of the plan, and all this sets up the lesson that we have for us today. Well, as we know, and as it was stated in the previous discourse, is that when the Lord says something, it comes to pass. You're assured of that. It's guaranteed. It's beyond doubt whatsoever that it will be accomplished. And Sarah was 90 years of age when Isaac was born. The year was 2020 B.C. And we can take a look at our chart again that Brother Jerry Leslie has provided for us there. And sure enough, here we have Sarah. I pushed the wrong button. Sarah is 90 years old, and Abraham is 100 years of old, and Isaac and this is the life of Isaac right here, was born at that time. Now, we can't not help but think that in saying that Sarah was speaking of, I should bring to mind a text of scripture here, Genesis 21:6, and Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, note this, God had made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. We cannot help but think that in saying that Sarah was speaking of the laughter of rejoicing, Sarah was rejoicing at this time. Here she was, 90 years of age, and she had a son by Abraham. What a joy it was for her. But more specifically, note specifically the words of Genesis 21:6, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Now, brethren, if we can put that in context with the end of this whole story, the whole world of mankind will have the laughter, the joy that Sarah had at this time. And that is the end of the story, as the case may be. That's where the bottom line comes. But in order to accomplish that end results of the whole world kind, mankind coming to the point and rejoicing and singing praise to our Heavenly Father for His plan and what He has provided, there is some work to be done in the meantime. The account of Isaac tells us that this seed of Sarah was persecuted, that he was mocked. And we read in Genesis 21:9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Remember that age-wise, the son of Hagar, which is, of course, Ishmael, was about 14 years of age older than Isaac was. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondswoman and her son, for the son of this bondswoman will not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, we're not going to get into Ishmael and talk about that. That comes next there. But the point that is brought out here is that Isaac is going to be the heir. Isaac was going to be the heir. And the 11th verse brings out that this was grievous to Abraham that Sarah would ask that this son of his to be put out. But God told Abraham, let it happen. Let it be. There's a reason for it. The 21st verse, the 12th verse. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondswoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so, in reality, what Sarah was doing was the will of God. Whether she really fully understood it or not cannot be said. But what Sarah was doing was the will of God. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then there was a blessing also to the bondswoman, which will be brought out later on. Well, as time goes on, things were not always easy with Isaac. We have the belief that all during this time, from the time that Isaac was born until the time that this test of Abraham and Isaac, that Abraham was constantly teaching Isaac the promises of God. We believe that there's no question whatsoever that Abraham fully disclosed to Isaac everything that the Lord had done. All the promises that were made. And so we come to this test. And we read, and he said, and this is God that's speaking here, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Wow. Each one of you that have been a father, each one of you that have been a parent, if you were told this, what would you think? What would the thoughts be in your mind? But I emphasize to you the thought that that Abraham had walked and talked with God all along the way, all these years. We believe this would be about the time that Isaac was 30 years of age. So for 30 years, very specifically, he had this father-son relationship with Isaac. And he was talking to Isaac about the promises of God, the fact that God would take and bless through Isaac all the families of the earth. And then God says to him, take your son and go up into the mountain and slay him. I think that Abraham had in his heart the promise that was made to him. The promise that in this seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And therefore, not knowing what would actually take place, he knew that the Lord had everything in control. So, Abraham says, give me a day or two to think about it. Give me a week. Give me 2 weeks. No. No. It says, and Abraham, and this is the following verse right afterwards, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hands and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? See, Isaac already knew that God would accept a lamb for the burnt offering. It doesn't say it there, but it's implied. It's there. Isaac had been well trained in the promises of God. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together, and it doesn't seem as though Isaac had too many questions thereafter. Which means Isaac was well trained in the promises of God. That's the implication. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid wood in order and bound his son. Abraham was 130 years of age. Abraham was 130 years of age, and Isaac was a strapping young man of 30. Isaac had the faith of Abraham because Abraham had taught him the lessons of the promises of God. Abraham followed the Lord's instructions to sacrifice his only son. The year was approximately 1990 BC. We read in Genesis 22:3, and rose up in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and the clay of a wood, and so on, and he went up in the mountain, just as the Lord had asked him to do. When Abraham arrived there and built the altar and had bound Isaac up and placed him upon the altar, and he stretched forth his hand and took the knife that he had taken with him to slay his son, did Abraham believe that the Lord would intervene? It doesn't say. It says that he had the faith in the Heavenly Father based upon the things that he had already done upon his God. And the angel of the Lord, he was right there. The hand was raised, ready to slay Isaac. And the angel says to him, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now," and there's a little word here, "I." Who was that angel that appeared unto Abraham? "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, to me." Very powerful thought there. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Notice the timing of the Lord. The miracles of God are in the timing of the Lord. It just so happened that the ram got caught in the thicket right there at that time. A coincidence? No, not at all. But it was because of the fact that God saw that Abraham would do anything that he asked him to do. Now, brethren, we know that when Abraham was on his way up to the mountain, and Isaac asked him, "Where is the lamb?" God didn't provide a lamb. The lamb was pictured in Isaac already. God provided a ram. And in our study of the tabernacle, one of the basic lessons that we have there is that the fact that the ram always indicates acceptance. How beautiful of a picture is brought to our mind here in reference to Sarah and her seed, Isaac. That sacrifice, even though it wasn't fully consummated, was accepted as though it was. And it was proven by the fact that God provided not a lamb, but a ram. The ram of acceptance. We look at our time chart. And on our time chart, we notice the timing of this offering right here. And it's approximately 1990 BC, we believe, right about the time that Isaac was 30 years of age. And as we consider that, we ask the question, as to where was Sarah at this time. Did Abraham talk with Sarah and tell her what he was going to do? Sarah lived, and we have the next slide here. Sarah lived to be 127 years of age, which would put this past that particular period of time. But before the time that Isaac actually married Rebecca. So Sarah was there. But there seems to be no question whatsoever that is brought out to us in Scripture of why these things were taking place. Why would Abraham take his son, her son, up into the mountain there to slay him? And I think there are some good lessons to them, but they're all kind of surmised lessons as far as this goes. But I think there are some good lessons there that by this time, Sarah also shared that same faith that Abraham had. Precisely. And the fact that she accepted whatever the Lord would have her to do or would be done with her son. Our next fact that is brought out is in reference to the seed, Isaac, and the fact that Isaac and Rebecca get married. Now, Brother George has brought to our attention the circumstances of this, how it was that Rebecca was chosen, and the fact that Rebecca did not hesitate whatsoever to go with Abraham's servant, Eliezer, but gladly went, even though those of her family asked that she stay behind for a period of time. I will go. And I think that's good. And the point here that is brought to our attention in Genesis 24:67 is that Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So time-wise, if we looked at this on the chart, we would see that this was after Sarah had died. Fact here is that as Abraham was nearing death himself, he gave everything that he had to Isaac. Isaac was the seed of promise. As we read the text of Scripture in the 25th chapter and the 5th verse, we notice the one word, all. Now, Brother Freeman would tell you, what in the word all do you not understand? He gave all that he had unto Isaac. What does that mean? Well, we think that primarily that we could say is that the promise that in thee and thy seed went to Isaac. That's the primary thing. Isaac would receive the promise. Isaac would receive the promise of bringing a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's primary. But also remember, and the reason why we brought this out, and I'm sure Brother Jim is going to deal with it later, is the fact that part of that promise was the land. All that Abraham had, God said, walk through the land, and all the land that thou seest, I will give to thee and to thy seed after thee. That was Isaac. And that promise went to Isaac. Brother George mentioned the stars of heaven. Genesis 22:17, we talk about what was the inheritance of Isaac. that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands which are upon the seashore. Did Isaac know this? Yes, Isaac knew this, and that's why he could be as faithful as he was. And thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. Oh, if the world of mankind, especially the Muslim world of today, would understand that simple little statement, thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies. And they will come to understand this and appreciate it and realize that their blessing will come through Isaac. And in thy seed shall all, and again, what part of all don't you understand, brethren? It's all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed the voice and because Isaac was willing. He brought Abraham back and forth, and there are several texts of scripture that we can think of that bring out this point, and said, look now toward the heavens, and how beautiful it is when we're out in the desert and we can look up into the heavens where there are no lights around us and we can see all these stars. And it says, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, tell me how many there are. And he says unto him, so shall thy seed be. So thy seed will be as the stars of heaven. And specifically, that is our part of it. Again, the 25th chapter and the 5th verse. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. And this is part of the promise. Part of the promise that came to him. Not only the land over here, but also the promise of the heavenly, the spiritual was there. Okay, the question is, how do we get from these natural promises of that came to Isaac and to Jacob and those after, how do we get from there unto Christ? Well, brethren, we want to bring to your attention the fact that when we talk about the Sarah covenant, as you look at it in the scriptures, there are several other titles that are used. The Abrahamic promise, the Abrahamic covenant. The pastor says the Abrahamic covenant is the Sarah covenant. The Sarah covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. We have, of course, the Sarah covenant that we're using. We have the thought of grace covenant. And when we think of the grace covenant very specifically, we think of the aspect of the grace that was given unto Sarah, that she in her old age could bring forth a seed. And we will get into that aspect of it more in the new covenant, the blessings that will come in through the new covenant as far as this goes. But very specifically, there is a grace that comes to us that allows us to come into a tentatively justified condition. And then from a tentatively justified condition to a reckon justified condition. And that grace that allows us to come into this relationship with God that is shown in the court of the tabernacle is just a wonderful, wonderful aspect of the plan of God that allows those that are in the court condition, as it were, to hold up the white linen curtain and say, the difference between me and those that are outside in the camp is the difference between accepting Christ and not accepting Christ. And the difference between those that are in the holy and those that are in the court, or represented in the court, as case may be, represented in the holy, are those that are covered by the blood of righteousness, the white linen curtain, and those that have no covering. Remember, The court has no covering. The court has no covering. For those that say they are justified and are in Christ, that, and yet that takes place in the court, as they might say, can't be. There's no covering for them. They have no ram skin dyed red over them. They have no white linen curtain. The covenant is often also talked about as a covenant of blessing. It's talked about a covenant of faith. Faith, brethren, is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Think about it. What do you hope for? Your hope is that the world of mankind might be blessed. Your hope is that you will have a part in blessing that world of mankind. Strong says that faith is a system of religious gospel truth. Our covenant is one where the Lord gives us a system of religious gospel truth. The pastor summed it up very simply by saying that no system of theology has ever attempted to, in itself, to harmonize every statement of the Bible. Yet nothing short of that do we claim for the views herein presented. That is a system of religious gospel truth. It's called the divine plan of the ages. It's on the next to the last page of your volume. This is called a covenant by promise because this covenant came to Isaac by the promise that was made to Abraham. And brethren, our part in that covenant comes to us by the promises that are given unto us. Our time is running out. I've got too much to go. I did it again. Okay. This is a chart that I picked up in Israel when I was over there, as far as this goes. And I realize you can't read it. It's too small print. But this shows from Abraham, right here, all the way to Christ, up here, the history. And we can take and trace, step by step, person by person, relative by relative, we can trace all the way through the line of Joseph and the line of Mary. And the end result is Christ. And brethren, we've taken everything out. That's the line right there. Again, you can't read it, but it's there. If you want a copy of it, I'll be happy to make you a copy of it as far as this goes. But this shows the line. And the end result is that the seed is Christ. Now to Abraham and to his seed where the promise is made, Galatians 3:16, he said, not and to seeds, plural, notice that right there, that S, not unto many seeds. Brother George brought to our attention the fact that Abraham had one seed by Sarah. Just one. Okay? That seed. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is that seed. And if you take a look at this chronology as we go back and look at it here, going back there, it ends with Christ. Because according to the flesh, Christ had no children. Oh, you get there. Some of the movies that are out today will indicate the fact that he married Mary Magdalene, was it? Uh-uh. The seed ends right there. It stops. Christ had no seeds according to the flesh. Galatians 3:29 was brought out also. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Brethren, we claim to be Christ. Possessive. Why? Because the merit of Christ's blood has been applied on our behalf. We belong to Him. We have been bought with a price. It can never happen again for us. We can only be bought one time. And therefore, we're heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? The promise is that we would bless, be part of that, that would bless all the families of the earth. We're heirs to that promise. Think about it. Heirs to that promise. In Galatians 4:22 we read, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh." Sarah thought she could help God out and accomplish it. But he that is a free woman was by promise. Sarah was promised a seed, and it's taken a long time to accomplish, but it is as sure as it was with Sarah. The apostle goes on to say this, which things are an allegory. "For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage," which is Hagar, and going on down, it says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Now, brethren, there are many brethren now that are saying that we are developed under the new covenant. Okay? Who is your mother? As far as the covenant is concerned, who is your mother? If you have a mother other than Sarah, or the Sarah covenant, if you are being developed under a covenant other than that of Sarah covenant, then the promises don't belong to you. You inherit nothing. Remember, all that Abraham had was given to Isaac. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed," the antitypical Isaac. Who is your mother? Sarah is the mother of us all, brethren. Sarah is the mother of us all, and through that seed, and through the sacrifice, the willingness to give up everything that we have, we sacrifice our right to perfect human life here upon the earth. And through our willingness to do that, and through the acceptance of that sacrifice, and through the begettal to the Holy by the Holy Spirit to spiritual nature, Sarah becomes the mother of us all. May the Lord add His blessing.